best holidays start with low fares at Jetstar.com.
Okay, we have waited all morning for this, Fev. Now, last night there was a 60 Minutes report and it was all about Dylan Howard. Now, Dylan is a former Channel 7 journalist. I wasn't aware of him. But just to have a recap, this is what went down last night on 60 Minutes.
Dylan Howard used his position at AMI to dispatch reporters to dig dirt on Rose McGowan. Information that he then passed on to Harvey Weinstein. He says he was dealing with Harvey Weinstein as part of a television production agreement, which has since been terminated. But incredibly, he also admits that none of the information his journalist gathered on Rose McGowan was ever intended to be published, which begs the question, why was it gathered in the first place?
Now, the 60 Minutes journalist continues here.
Can we talk about the work that you've been doing for your friend Harvey Weinstein?
Been doing absolutely no work for Harvey Weinstein.
Well, you've been digging the dirt.
No.
On Weinstein's accusers. Why have you been doing that?
Our responses have been well articulated about exactly.
Well, can you talk to me about that?
You can actually read our responses.
Why would you want to do that for an accused rapist?
Nobody knew he was an accused rapist.
You're an Australian. Come on, you'd be familiar with the term scumbag.
Yeah, it was good to see him being chased by a reporter for once for things that that he's done. But this man was out to get me. Boxy. He reported
Dylan Howard.
He reported every story that resulted in my demise, which was half probably my fault because I was got a little bit of trouble. But he embellished and sensationalised every story to make it juicier so he could sell it. In Ireland, he reported that I instigated a brawl, that it was nothing like that, and he put a lot of GST on it, the story, to the media outlets, and they ran it. I did get the guy in the headlock, blah, 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 but he said there was a big fight and he actually paid for the story to get released. So that got me sent home from Ireland, fined, sued from the guy in Ireland. The urinating on the window incident, which was about 10 years ago, it was Grand Prix weekend. So this was criminal, Boxy. He actually fabricated the story by pouring liquid all over the window, filming it on Channel 7 News. The fact was, I went around the alleyway, peed on a wall, and I'd be about probably 100 blokes would have done it that night, which is, I'm not condoning, which is wrong, but I certainly wouldn't have been disrespectful enough to urinate on a window because he just wouldn't do that. So down the alley, played it all. I got suspended. I got fined. He blew that up
and
into much more than
that.
It was. I never did that. So
He's added liquid to the wall.
Mate, three days later, this was on a Friday night. So on the Monday, he's gone back to the restaurant, filmed it, and said, here's the wee on the window. Oh, come on.
Amazing.
And people actually believed it. Like, it's not going to stay there for 3 days. So he poured liquid on and I got suspended. I had to play in the twos. I got fined like 10 grand and got written up all over the papers, and
it's
he
like
ran
a
with
campaign
it. Yeah,
against
he literally did. And this man's ruthless. He's I'm glad that it's sort of happened because he's a liar who's finally been exposed for the rat that he is. He went after me and my career, and it ended mine for 10 years. And later, now, he's finally been caught up with. This man stole classified documents a couple of years ago. Remember for Channel 7? You remember the Essendon saga?
Oh.
He's the one that stole them.
Really?
And he got sacked from Channel 7.
Because he's, oh man.
So he's done that. He's been, he's mates with bloody Harvey Weinstein, who's a monster. And he tried to discredit the victims that have gone up and accused Harvey Weinstein. So what sort of human would do that in the
that
first place?
That was the
place?
Content of 60 Minutes
That's
last
content,
night.
That's the content, yes. So at what point will this man be banned from the industry? He's a disgrace. And it's time he's exposed for the rat he is, Boxy.
Well done, Fev. I'm so glad you said all of that because it's so true. You know, there's a fine line between journalism and muckraking and deliberately, aggressively trying to take people down. I couldn't agree with you more. There
100%.
Is reporting facts, and I think far too often news sources, even journalists, have one thing in mind, and that is to get a headline. And that can often result in people's careers being affected. And we all know, everyone who's grown up in Melbourne watched your demise of your career. And as you said, Fev, and I thought that was really good, you admit
100%.
You did some stuff.
Yes.
But once they put a bit of, as you said, GST
fabricated.
And add to it and make you some sort of monster.
And that's the problem, Boxy. As a footballer, who's going to believe me? Oh, I didn't do it. Oh, yeah, sure. But when a journalist writes it,
of course.
We believe it because they're supposed to be trustworthy. And they're honest. The sources are honest. They get out there and everyone reads it. Like the magazine today when you've been written.
It's rubbish.
And you're...
I apparently got engaged. Didn't happen.
Correct. Check their facts.
Yeah, no, lots of them. I think, well done, Fev. I think it's really brave of you to do that. And I think we should all just mindfully move forward and not take everything we read to be gospel.
I never read on the wall.
No, the window.
The
window.
You definitely not the window.
Read,
the wall.
You did read on the wall.
Yeah. Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9, The Fox.
Oh, Fev, I'm going through a really tricky stage in parenting.
Terrible fours.
Oh, no. You know, no, she's not. No, I should.
You're the problem.
I should say that. No, she's a dream.
Terrible 40s.
She's an absolute dream.
Probably I'm don't an, highlight 40s.
30s, 30s.
Happy.
Late
30s. I am a nightmare mum at the moment. Not in a bad way. In a way, I want Trixie to love me, yep. Like really love me.
Well,
and I'm
should.
Becoming a bit helicoptery and I don't really give her a lot of space. And
smothering.
Remember last week when she said this to me, I think we've got the audio, and it broke my heart. Hang on, what did you call Mum before?
Boring.
I'm not boring. Do you really think I'm boring?
Yep.
Why am I boring?
Because you just start taking 18 minutes to do.
What?
What?
She takes
too long. Why am I boring?
Because you are, and it's testing.
Now, for a four-year-old...
It's testing.
For a four-year-old, it's pretty powerful stuff.
Well, it is, Fev.
Boring.
No, can you please not?
She's pretty passionate about that.
I know. Or can you hear, she's actually got a little sense of humour. She knows she's winding.
Is this a humorous...
Boring.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing because I want to be fun time mum. So I'm always, after that, I took her to Officeworks a couple of days after that.
That's not fun.
So you try to bribe her.
No, I got a little trolley in there.
Okay.
Byron, then, Officeworks is a hit.
It's not a theme park. It's not Gumbaya World.
I've gotten paints. I've gotten glitter. I've gotten all this stuff. I've gone, look, I'm craft mum. I'm craft mum. I'm fun.
I'm with Boxy here. If I said to my kids, hey, let's go to Luna Park or Officeworks, they'll say Officeworks.
Okay, fair enough. Well, maybe you're not boring.
Yeah, no, she loves it. So I filled a little trolley and she's got a little kids trolley. Anyway, I've gone home. I've spent like 2 days doing arts and crafts. Going, mummy's not boring. Mummy's the best. Anyway, and thank you because we had lots of people call into the show and give me tips on how to be fun time mum. Okay. So on the weekend, I asked a question I probably shouldn't have, Fev. But see, I ask this of her far too often. I often say to Trix, is mummy your best friend?
Oh, God.
And and she's now got a stock standard answer, which is it's more hurtful than boring.
Trix, are you my best friend?
I'm sorry to say this, but no.
Trixie, are you my best friend?
I'm sorry to say this, but no.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
Killing me, this kid.
Well, you're not her best friend.
Why?
Because she's four.
But I want to be her best friend.
You're her mum.
I know. And this is, Fev, I'm glad you said this because before I had a child, I had lots of opinions and I was always telling people my opinions.
You certainly did.
And now I'm confused because I'm becoming the mum I think I used to pay out on and go, you can't be friends with your kids. But I would like to ask, and I know I am turning to you guys often to get parenting advice, but I want to know if it's okay to be friends with your kids.
Best friends?
Best friends. So mums and dads out there, has it backfired? Is it better to be a mum and not a best friend? Should I, because I'm worried she's going to be running rings around me soon, Fev, because she knows mummy just wants approval and she wants me to be her best friend.
Trixie will be like my kids to me. I'm their best friend.
Yeah, see, you're best friend dad.
Yeah, best friend dad.
That works.
Yeah, it works, but they have me under the thumb and when I tried to be serious dad, they laugh.
Well, actually,
and it's double fold for me because as a single parent, I have to cover both of those roles. And as you're probably getting the hang of this, I'm not really good at the other role.
I'll be like, Lulu, bedtime at 6:30, Dad, bed. Ha, 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 you're funny. No, seriously.
13, 10, 60. You've heard Fee's question. Let's see how we go on your phones. Is it possible and is it okay? And are you best friends with your kids?
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9, The Fox.
Discipline's not my thing with my daughter. I want to be her friend, and I know I'm hurtling towards a disaster. She's only four, and I'm always trying to impress her, and I actually ask her point blank, like I did the other day. I've recorded it. Here we go.
Trix, are you my best friend?
I'm sorry to say this, but no.
Trixie, are you my best friend?
I'm sorry to say this, but
No.
Oh. Even the way you say it, I'd say no as well.
It's like daggers to
go
the
away.
Heart.
Go away.
It's needy.
No, I'm really
make
snobby.
Me some food.
Yeah, but Fev, I want to be, you know, the relationship I want to have with my daughter through my life and her life, I want to be at nightclubs when she's 18.
Oh,
and
as
out
if.
Like me and Mia.
Actually, you do that. She also once called you this.
Boring.
Remember that when she called you?
Boring.
Yeah. Look, we've got some teething issues going on here and I need to quickly, you know, I mean it when I use that analogy. I can see I'm heading towards this car crash and I've got to stop it quickly. And I have said 13, 10, 60. Can I have some tips on is being a friend a good idea, bad idea? Are there ways I can manipulate or trick her into being my best friend?
No, that's not the question.
Do you know how much it hurts you by her saying that? How about for a week you give her donuts?
She's four.
Yeah, and then she'll come crawling.
That's childish.
Lisa from Surrey Hills. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Fifi.
Lisa, now, are you experienced with this? Am I doing the wrong thing?
Yes, you are, my love.
Oh, dear.
She needs a mum.
I know. I knew you were going to say that.
I've said that too, Lise.
Yep. You know, you need to tuck her into bed, pick her up from ballet. She needs your time and she needs your love.
You're right.
And when she's a big girl, when she's 20, she'll go, hey, mum. You were the best mum. You're now my best friend. Come down the pub for a drink.
Oh, that's
but
it.
But you'll be in a retirement home. Hey! Whoa, 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 whoa.
Thank
she'll
you, Lisa.
She'll come visit you, mate. She'll thank come you. Visit you.
Thank you, Lisa. That is really great advice.
You'll be on the pension home. <then. laughs>
Marie in Evandale. Hi, Marie.
Morning, all. How are you?
Yeah, good, Marie. Fev's having a lot of fun at my expense here, Marie.
Lawn bowls.
I can hear it. I can definitely hear it.
Is it a bad idea to be best friends with your child?
Well, when they were young, I thought I was their best friend and I wanted to be their best friend. But as they're getting older, it's definitely drifting. Yeah, we're friends, but we're definitely not best friends. And even now they're in the car with me and they're saying, no, we're not friends.
What are their names, Marie?
E's 12 years old and Johnny's 10.
Hey, E and John, can they hear me, Marie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, E and John, is Mummy your best friend?
Not really, no.
We've got one more on 13, 10, 60. I think Thief's learning a lot from this.
Okay, we've got Maya from Taylor's Hill. Hi, Maya.
Hello.
How old are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, Maya, am I saying your name right or do you like Maya?
It's Maya.
It is Maya. I thought, like Maya the Bee.
Yeah.
You know her? She's gorgeous.
Yeah, or the R&B star.
Yeah.
Or the shop.
Okay. Now, Maya, are you best friends with your mum?
Yes, we are very good friends together.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, that's cute.
Maya, what did your mummy do to make that happen? Like, what could I do to make my daughter want to be my best friend?
Maybe do more things with her, like go out shopping with her or take her to the park for a bike ride.
I just bought out all of Officeworks. I did lots of craft with her, Maya, lots of...
Yeah, we do craft together.
That's cute. That's beautiful. And she is the best friend with her mum, whereas Trixie, maybe it's a maturity thing because Maya's 9 and Trixie's 4.
I mean, I won't lie, when we're doing some of the activities, Mummy does need a bit of a nap on the couch.
Thanks, Maya.
Fast forward 20 years, like Lisa said. And you'll be like, Trixie, are you still
can
best
you
friends?
Not?
That's enough.
And Trixie will be like, I'll come back and see you tomorrow, Mum.
1019 The Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. 1019 The Fox.
Fev, we were part of something really stressful the other day. You and I were down in the green room here at The Fox. It's not really a green room. It's a boardroom.
Yeah, they turned it into a
green
room.
They did. Yes. So we had an event on the world famous rooftop here at The Fox and we were in what was the green room but really just a boardroom with some bickies and dip. And we were sitting there on the couch and we work here at the radio station. If people probably maybe not aware of this, we've got Eddie McGuire and Will Anderson downstairs and they were around, we were in the room with them, we were all having a chat.
Yes.
And then, Fev, the next minute, you read something on Twitter that sent poor Will into a meltdown.
Yeah, I did. I come across a story where a comedian, actor, Australian, who I think lives in the States, was in Malta, was in a car accident in a Peugeot, crashed into a wall and died. His name was Jim Jefferies.
Mm.
And I said to Will, do you know this guy called Jim Jefferies? Because they're all in the same sort of business.
Comedy.
Comedy, yes. And Dave Hughes also came in and he was shocked.
Yeah, that's right. Hughes, he was shocked too.
And Will's really good mates with him. He had a meltdown.
Oh,
and
mate.
I read the article and he went onto his Twitter page to see what was going on and what sort of what had been written.
Yeah.
And Jim Jefferies had actually posted, no, I'm not in Malta. I haven't died and I don't have any gigs in Malta.
Gee, that was such a relief because I won't lie. I was sitting there next to Fev going, why did you say that?
Why?
Like I had that moment that I imagine Alex feels a lot. Why did you bring that up in front of Will?
But it was a full article saying he died.
I know. No, it was a shock. And it did remind me of, remember, this happens occasionally. There are hoaxes. Jeff Goldblum had the famous hoax where Richard Wilkins went on the Today Show and said he'd passed away and he had it. A lot of people are reported to die but don't actually die.
Yes.
And it got us thinking about a segment we'd do, and maybe we could do a segment centred around this.
One question.
Are you in labour right now?
Are you a billionaire?
Did three sisters marry three brothers?
Are you Amish?
Do you have a panic room?
Have you been abducted by aliens?
Have you married an object?
Have you died?
All we need is one caller.
We got one!
So with that conversation in mind that we just heard, Fief, we've got one where we only need one caller. What is the question you want to put?
Okay, now it's a bit of a stretch from that story. No, because I was thinking. No,
especially with that music.
Well, exactly.
I might turn that down.
Look, not a lot of people would be part of a reporting of a fake death, of a death that wasn't real. But I wonder how many people have faked their own death.
Ooh.
Now, the challenge with
that's
this segment.
Narrow.
Now, remember, this segment is a challenge. We only need one caller. The whole segment falls over when nobody calls.
Might have been a few times back in about 2006. I wish I did that. Just went away.
Well, it's funny you say wish you'd done it. Fev, who could forget Olivia Newton-John's boyfriend at the time, Patrick McDermott? I remember it was like 12 years ago or whatever, and he just went missing on a boat.
That's right.
Reported dead.
Reported dead. It was a big news story.
Have they found him yet?
Well, Fev, did you? Just November just gone. They're certain they've found him in Mexico.
Smart.
Well, I know.
Well, probably got him out of a lot of trouble.
He had all sorts of debt and whatever. But look, remember, this segment, we consider it a challenge.
If he rings in, it'd be amazing.
131060.
That would be it.
We only need one caller to make this a success.
Good luck. We'll see how we go.
One question.
Are you in labour right now?
Are you a billionaire?
Did three sisters marry three brothers?
Are you Amish?
Do you have a panic room?
Have you been abducted by aliens?
Have you married an object?
Have you died?
All we need is one caller.
We got one!
Now, it's too complicated for me to go back into why we're asking this question, but anyway, here's the question. Have you faked your own death? Now, this, as we said, we would be surprised if we got one.
Apparently,
caller,
I'm told.
We got one!
Right now.
We got one! Tara in Wallen. Hi, Tara.
Hi, guys.
Tara, I mean, you sound chipper and alive and well, but have you, in fact, faked your own death?
Well, it wasn't me, but it was my auntie who did.
Okay, well, we're close. Well, let's hear the story. Why did she fake her own death?
Well, basically, it was just to see a reaction, to see if anybody cares.
Are you kidding me? So hang on, Tara, did she... I need to know more. Was this an elaborate ruse? Like, what did she do? Just, like, put a letter in the Herald Sun? What did she do?
She actually had her partner contact me and say that she'd passed away through the night, and I had to go through telling the whole family. We were receiving flowers from everybody. This went on for 3 days, and then I got a message saying, I'm sorry, I just did it to see if anybody would care.
Okay.
And I sort of thought, oh my goodness, is this a joke? And then I rang her and she answered.
And then you put her in psychological counselling.
It's a sick joke.
Now Boxy, Tara's story's great.
Have you done that, Fev?
No, I've actually thought about it. Like,
I bet you have.
Well, you pretend. I mean, you're purely pretending.
Turns up at your funeral.
Yes. I want to know who's at the funeral, who actually cared, but you're not dead, but you're at the back somewhere just watching who actually rocks up where people are talking and whispering, ah, he's dead, ah, thank God he's gone. I just want to see. I literally think about this all the time.
Okay, well, you know what? What you can do is go and do it and then ring in the next time we do this talk.
Now, that one wasn't quite
because
a we've
that
got one.
Wasn't, yeah,
have you ever not thought about that, though?
Never thought about
who's
it.
Bit,
don't care.
Here we go. Another one's come through.
Sarah in Clayton. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Sarah, we just heard an amazing story about Tara's auntie who faked her own death, which was very, very close. We now have to ask you, have you in fact faked your own death?
I have.
Oh, oh Sarah, wow. We got one. Okay, now, why?
So I say a few years ago, I was talking to this guy and he was very clingy. And there was so many times where I just tried to cut him off.
Now, you're in the middle of your story. Now, I am tempted now just to flick to a different channel. Should I, just quickly, because this is quite confidential, Leon, should I flick to the Voice Disguiser channel?
Yeah, let's put Voice Disguiser on.
Oh, we're just going to flick it across now.
Oh, we've had an okay, Sarah, that's not actually your real name.
No, it's not. It's an alias.
And we have flicked to the Voice Disguiser, which, Sarah, makes me want to hear your story even more.
So go through
this
now.
This is gripping.
Continue it.
Is that better?
That's better. We've no idea who you are, Sarah.
Okay. Anyway, I was seeing this guy for a few months and he was very clingy and I just wanted to get rid of him and he just wouldn't get the hint. And then one morning he sent me a message. He said, oh, good morning, beautiful. How's your day? Da, 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 da. And I actually sent a message back and said, oh, hi, this is Sarah's brother. Unfortunately, Sarah passed away last night.
Oh, Sarah. Wow.
What was the reply text?
It said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, and then I never heard that.
And, Sarah, that was it. So
that was it.
Does well he played. Live in the same city? Like, could he bump into you?
Over the other side.
What about social media, though, Sarah? Gee. So he would, you know, wouldn't he follow you or?
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's just. I didn't think it would stick, but obviously I never heard back, so obviously he found out that I'm actually alive or that he still believes it.
Oh, Sarah.
Wow. So we think he might know that you are now alive.
Possibly.
Do you feel, Sarah, I have to ask this, do you feel bad?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, do you know what, Sarah? It's interesting because you're not alone. I'm addicted to Catfish, that MTV show.
Oh, my God, I just started watching that.
That's a great old show.
Catfish is the best. This happens more than you'd believe.
Wow.
Like so many people I've watched on that Catfish show, to get out of relationships or end things, they pretend they die.
It's got
to
be a better way.
I did a binge of it the other day. I'm like, this is
such a good show. Which brilliant. Makes me think, and Sarah, thank you for fessing up to that. We didn't actually expect to get one. That's
You've
been the...
Faked your own death.
Yes.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Fev, let's talk about you some more. I love that. We can't stop talking about you today. I missed you on the weekend. It's like I really missed you and I'm like all excited because... okay, remember
the
other day?
Yeah, I missed you too.
You didn't. remember the other day we were on the phones asking people if they had eaten alone because you last week went to lunch by yourself and it was very unsettling
for
you.
It was.
You didn't like it.
Didn't like it one bit.
We took a call from somebody and couldn't help but notice how specific they were.
Yeah, and I've actually seen Fev go across the road to the tea house with his family. We're across the road.
That's another phoner for another day. Have you seen Fev walking into a restaurant? So we took the notes at the time, Fief, and we went, yep, let's do that on another day.
Yeah, because how coincidental, it was only a few weeks ago, I bumped into somebody and they said, oh, yeah, I saw Fev in Sorrento coming out of .. cafe. I can't remember what it was. But it was like, that is a very familiar term to hear or see Fev at a cafe or restaurant.
Now, this is riveting stuff, guys. Yeah, you got to eat.
Well, mate, you're a public figure, you're prominent.
you got to eat.
No, I'm not kidding. I would go to a restaurant maybe once a month. And even then, in winter, probably even less. I would not
Uber
go out
eats.
That often. Yeah, totally. this isn't about takeaway. This is purely about going to a restaurant. 13 10 60, we did threaten we'd do it. Let's do it now. What restaurant have you seen Fev in? Now, I'll extrapolate on that,
okay.
Fev.
Yeah, extrapolate it.
Let's say, what restaurant have you seen Fev in, coming out of or going into?
No, it's okay.
So
that broadens it.
You can see him in transit. He can be on the move, heading in, heading out, or actually sitting in there.
The number is 13 10 60.
I'll even accept takeaway McDonald's. Hayden in Narre Warren. Hi, Hayden.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Where have you seen Fev?
One afternoon, me and my girlfriend went to the Royal Brothers in Brighton. It's a burger joint.
Yes.
And we saw it there with Lenny and Lulu. And then the very next Monday, we went again and he was there again.
Okay, burgers.
So there we go. I'll tell you a great story about that place.
We've just got so many calls,
yeah,
though.
It's the Pantry, which is known in Brighton.
Great cafe.
It was a storage for boxes out the back. and the owner turned it into a burger place and an ice cream place.
Wow.
And it's now like one of the best burger places.
Killing it.
It was just a storage room.
Are you looking for more free stuff from that place?
Oh, no, I'm just saying. It's actually an amazing. People are smart.
It's a great story, but let's take more calls. Adrian in Pasco Vale. Hi, Adrian.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Yeah. Look, he wasn't walking in. He was stumbling in. It was early 2000s, and we both sort of walked out of Billboard's nightclub.
Oh, yeah. Great place.
Stumbled across the road, and look, I was in front of him, but I think he saw the Hungry Jack's sign and bolted in front of me.
Hungry Jack's in the CBD, just near the Billboard nightclub there.
Thanks, Adrian. Aaron in Roeville. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good. Where have you seen Fev eating?
I haven't personally seen him eating, but I've definitely served him down at a Hotel Phillip Island having a few froppies.
That's a common theme here, isn't it?
Great part of the world, too.
Yeah, I know, beautiful. My favourite part of Victoria, Phillip Island. Thanks, Aaron. Jerry in Frankston, where have you seen Fev either walking in, walking out of, or sitting in a restaurant?
I seen Fev at the Food Truck Festival in Cheltenham with his family, flying a boat on his wee scooter with his moon boot on.
That's our best so far.
We haven't even factored in Food Festival.
That was a great festival, actually.
Sally in Bundoora. Hi, Sally.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Sally. Where have you seen Fev eating?
I think it's called a little kitchen in Rhymes there just over the Christmas after the New Year period with his family.
This is the best.
Tell you what, he's propping up Melbourne's restaurant scene, isn't he? I mean,
Thank you, Sally.
What is he doing for the local economy?
This is the best, everyone, with your family, with Lenny and Lulu.
How observant is everyone? I love it. Alex in Carrum Downs. Hi, Alex.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, great. Where have you seen Fev frequenting a food venue?
Actually, Nando's in Elstonwick with his daughter.
Nando's in Elstonwick.
You are covering a lot of Melbourne.
How good's Nando's?
Just near the train station there, isn't it? There, yeah, the Nando's in Elstonwick. Great spot.
I mean, I won't lie. For somebody that constantly tells us about all the food you cook, you really go out a lot.
This is obviously, that was year 2000.
Georgia in Yarrambad. Hi, Georgia.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Georgia. Where have you seen Fev walking in, out, or just standing in a venue that you can eat at?
So Fev was on his crutches and it was a Mr. Miyagi in Perth.
Yes.
Great spot.
With
great.
His family.
Yeah. Mr. Miyagi's a great spot, isn't it, Georgia?
Oh, it's beautiful there. It's beautiful.
There's crunchy tacos there and they've got a crispy...
I've been there once. I mean, I'm not kidding you, Fev. I reckon I've been out to dinner twice this year. And you've already covered half of Melbourne. It's amazing.
At least no one saw me by myself. That's a kid.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox. Let's
go. At Fox FM, we have world famous performances on the world famous rooftop. Ed Sheeran.
I'll play you another new one.
Katy Perry.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for coming out.
Pink. And now, on the world famous rooftop. Anthony, the bricklayer from Cheltenham.
Oh, rock my world, you know you did. Everything like gold with it.
Oh, right.
Mark, the cabinet maker from Lang Warren.
My heart will go on.
And so many more. It's Fifi, Fev and Byron's Radioke Nights. Live from Fox FM's world-famous rooftop, Radioke.
It is this Thursday. Now, Fifi Box, you in front of you have a list of the four tradies already secured as finalists this Friday night. They will be playing for $5,000 and an amazing prize from Bosch Power Tools and Accessories. There's good, there's better than there's Bosch.
There's always Bosch. The great people of Bosch are giving us $5,000 to give away. Now, remember, this all started from a little segment that our bosses didn't even believe in. They went, tradies singing, what are you guys talking about? No, we knew there was this untapped, rich vein of talent within tradies in Melbourne, and we have tapped into it and we're celebrating it this Thursday night on our world famous rooftop. The audition process continues. We have Anthony, a bricklayer from Cheltenham, on the line. Are you there, Anthony?
I'm here. How are you going?
Very well, Anthony. Now, Anthony, have you put a lot of thought into your song choice? Fev was just saying he caught up with some tradies on Friday and they're really confused, you know, challenged by what
I said. I said to him, what are you going to sing if you get on? And he goes, well, this is the problem. Like, you want to impress, but you don't want to be too good, but you want to be funny.
It's tough. It's like on X Factor. It's hard for them to decide what songs. The song choice can destroy you.
Yeah, so, Anthony, what are you going with for your audition?
Look, I love Michael Jackson,
and I can actually do a few of his moves. I sat there in my room. I reckon I practiced it 1,000 times doing the kick and the moonwalk and all that sort of stuff.
He does the phone line cut out a bit. He does the Michael Jackson moves.
Well, that's not going to help him.
I feel like we've got to get this up on the world famous rooftop because remember, the audience, the people watching, will be deciding who wins the $5,000. So you've thought this through, Anthony. Good performance from you of Sir Michael Jackson. What are you going to go with now?
I think I'll do a bit of a Billie Jean.
Oh, yeah.
Billie Jean.
Okay.
Classic from Thriller.
Here we go. Anthony, our bricklayer from Cheltenham. Off you go with some MJ.
People have told me, be careful what you do. Don't go around breaking young girls' hearts. People always told me, be careful who you love. Be careful what you do, because the kind of lie becomes the truth. Yeah, now Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just the girl who thinks that I am the one.
That'll do.
Well, now pass me some cement.
well, there we go now. So the audition process continues. We are looking
that
to...
That was sensational. You're in.
Yep, you're on.
That'll do.
See you there.
The best holidays start with low fares at Jetstar.com. 101.